Ephesians chapter 5. Some of you said it's a little warm in here. I agree with you. Some of you are sitting here saying, well, this is the first time I've never worn a coat in this place. You see what we're up against here? So anyway, we do appreciate you being here. They're trying to work on that humidity in the room right now. All right, fleeing the darkness. Now, what is it about darkness that when we were children, we feared it? I mean, think about it. We feared the darkness as children. We had to have the little nightlight. Mine happened to be a Humpty Dumpty nightlight. What you laughing at? Y'all had some crazy stuff. I know. Some of you had a candle. That's how far you go back. I get it. So, sorry about that. You know, when you think about it, though, darkness at times in our lives can be very scary. You think about that criminal activity takes place in the darkness. And when you really think about it, darkness in and of itself is really nothing. It's actually the absence of light. It's the void of light. Therefore, when you really think about it, light is the influencer of darkness. So darkness is nothing. We fear it. There's times criminal activity happens under the cover of darkness. Darkness is everywhere at times. And I think many of us would probably agree that we live in a culture that's a little dark right now. And so when you begin to put it all together, look at the introduction. The church in America is rapidly losing its influence. Many have speculated that it is because the light of the church is diminishing. Simply put, there is a dark world, but a dimly lit church. The world needs a church made up of God's people that reflects the brilliance of His light. Jesus once said it this way, "You are light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus is saying that we as followers are called to be light and darkness. We're called to be influencers. So, we are the light of God. We are to let our light shine. And as a result of our light shining, it will dispel the darkness. Now, some people won't like it, but their only hope is to see the light that shines in you. So let your light shine anyway. How many of you have noticed that when you show up at certain times, maybe they're on the job or they're in school or around other people who possibly live in the darkness of this world? And when you show up, sometimes you don't quite click with them. And really, when you think about it, what does light really have fellowship with darkness? That's really a question that's raised in Scripture. But when you think about how that plays out in our lives commonly, you'll find that sometimes us just showing up is an offense to people. How many of you have noticed that? When you live the way God's called you to live, when your light enters into the darkness of people, many times they're offended. And sometimes they have no clue why they're offended. They just are. And that's what happens when we begin to be that light to others. So that being said, how does light influence? Well, first of all, light transforms. Someone has rightly said that the church did the most for the world when the church was least like the world. You see, there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of denominations, there's a lot of groups of people out there who basically preach a word that's different than the way it was preached years ago. And then there are those who have been steadily holding to the Word of God over the centuries, who have basically said, no, let's let God's Word speak for itself. Let's don't add our commentary to slant the words of God into the darkness of the world to embrace that world. That can't even happen. Matter of fact, the denominations and churches that are attempting to blend the doctrine of the world into the world itself, those are the ones that are losing people by the busloads, basically, when it comes to their churches. Because there's no difference. There's no difference. We should be different. When you come into these doors on Sunday mornings, there should be a difference about how we gather. When we hear the Word of God being taught and preached, it should be a word that is truly light, not dimly lit, not half-truths, not trying to cater the Word of God to the darknesses of this world, but a light that contrasts the darkness that is all around us. So, what is Paul talking about? Well, in verse 8, he's talking about the contrast. Look at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He's talking about your time before you came to know Jesus Christ, and he's talking about your life now as it relates. So notice the terminology. It doesn't read you walked in darkness. There's places where it does say that. But in this context, he says you were the darkness. That was your identity. How you were seen by God the Father himself, you were a person who was dead in trespasses of your sin. You, he would declare, based on the authority of Scripture, you were walking in darkness. You not only walked in darkness, you were darkness. I want you to think about that. That's who we were before Christ. Now, it also doesn't read, you are walking in the light. What does it say? You are light. So, you are not defined by what you do. You're defined by who you are. And as a result of who you are, it should shed light on what you do. You understand that? So many people can act like they're in light. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about the darkness and how it can have takes on form of lightness. Matter of fact, the Antichrist, when you talk about him coming at the end of time, you're going to see that he will have what's called a form of light, but there's no light in him. You'll see that, and that's kind of where the world is today for many people. So, moving from darkness to light radically changes things. Now, let's look at these things quickly. Those who are darkness do the work of the enemy. I'm sorry, this screen is completely gone. That's the screen I used. There it is right there. Okay. So, sorry about y'all over here. Y'all in the dark. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. Sorry about that. So what does it say in John chapter 8? You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. That means you're following the leader of darkness. That's what you do. You look at him. He's your father. He's the great influencer in your life and the things that he does. He's a father of darkness, so therefore he's your father. And you do the works of the enemy. Secondly, those who are of darkness are under the rule of the enemy. Colossians chapter 1, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Before you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he had dominion over you. That's what this seems to refer to. He ruled over you. Secondly, those who do the darkness are awaiting the wrath of God. And this is where the rubber hits the road when you think about it. Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What you have here, if you look at Romans chapter 1 verse 18, you're looking at the epitome of darkness. This is the core of darkness, this verse right here. And so he basically says, as a result, those who are in darkness, those their identity is in darkness apart from Christ, they are awaiting the wrath of God. And then lastly, those who are in darkness will be cast into outer darkness. But the sons of the kingdom of the enemy will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This picture that we've just read, these last two verses, are horrifying when you really think about what's at stake in the world in which we live. Those under the influence of darkness. And there's no hope apart from light that must come into their life. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit, but also it's a work that's entrusted to us, that we go out and we be light. So, what are those who are light? Number one, they do the work of God. Ephesians 2 says it this way, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Secondly, those who are light are under the rule of Christ, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. How about this? Those who are light are awaiting the promises of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we should live together with him. And then lastly, those who are light will go to a place of light. The city has no need. Speaking of this heaven that awaits us, the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. That is a future promise to those who walk in the light. Next, light transforms. We see the contrast. But what about the command? Look at the second part of verse 8. Walk as children of light. So, let your conduct be as those who walk in the light. Another way of saying that, let your conduct be as those who walk in truth. Now, when you think about it, light is a symbol in the Bible. It is a symbol for two things or two aspects. First of all, it is used to describe an intellectual aspect. And secondly, it's used to describe a moral aspect. Intellectually, light refers to truth. Morally, light refers to holiness, to living before God in the manner in which He seeks for us. Living in light means living in truth and living in holiness, receiving the truth and living in that holy life. On the other hand, darkness intellectually refers to ignorance and deception. And morally, to walk in darkness is evil. And that's how the Bible describes it all through the Word. Next, we are commanded to walk in the light, to live what we are, light. But how do we fulfill this command to live as light? Well, this is not on your outline, but I do want to show you a couple things or present something to you. First of all, light, when you think about its characteristics, first of all, light is clear and pure. Light is clean. It's just what it is. It's just light. Light penetrates. It cuts through and eliminates darkness. Next, light enlightens. It enlarges a person's vision and knowledge. It's capable of doing that. Light reveals. It clears the path for truth. Light warns. It warns of danger that lies ahead a person's path. Light guides. It directs the path to travel. Psalm 119 says it this way: Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And we see that light strips away darkness. Light clears away chaos. Light discerns between right and wrong. Light protects. It protects a person from the dangers of darkness, from stumbling and from falling. The Bible says it this way in Proverbs chapter 6. For this command is a lamp, teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way of life. Do you see what? Do you see the connection? Light is correction. It's when we need to stay in the light. How many of you need correction to stay in the light? We need to be corrected at times. The Holy Spirit's role in our lives is to bring that about. But not only that, we need instruction. So, the command is to walk in the light and not in the darkness, to be transformed by the light. Next, light transforms, the contrast, the command, but thirdly, the core. Look at verse 9. For the fruit or the byproducts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, these three things that he's laying out here are at the core of what it means to live as light. There are a lot of people who claim to be in the light. And here's where they say their light is. Oh, I've been going to church for years. Oh, I'm very religious. Oh, I've given a lot of money to the church. Oh, I've been in certain denominations since I was baptized, christened, and confirmed. I'm a church member. You see, that may be a reflection of the light of who you are. It tells what you do, but it doesn't necessarily say who you are. Do you understand when I say that? That it's not these things that we do. It's the essence of who we are. If we are light, yeah, these things may be true in our lives, but the fact that we start here and we say, here's what we do, we're totally missing it, because it's got to begin with who we are. And who we are is light. So, the real test is the fruit of your life and what is being produced at the core of who you are. Now, the definition of core. the central part of a fruit containing the seeds. The central, innermost, or most essential part of anything. So those are the definitions. Paul in verse 9 describes the core of the light. Goodness, when he says goodness, it means moral excellence. It literally is the idea of usefulness. Second of all, righteousness means not deviating from the path of purity, to live the life that God called you to live. And then thirdly, truth means or is a reference to integrity. So first, goodness is in relation to others. Righteousness is in relation to God. And then truth or integrity is in relating to oneself. So those who are light are at their core good to others, on a path of purity, and have integrity. So this is at the core of transforming us from darkness to light. Next, we see that light transforms, and we see the challenge. Look at verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You see, living as light is not satisfied until it lives out what is acceptable to the Lord. You see, if your life, if you claim you are light, okay, and in just a minute we're going to say actually you're a reflection of light. You're a reflection of light, but in and of you, you are light too, is what the Bible says. But as a result, if you being light is not producing fruit that's acceptable to the Lord, you need to check your light because it needs to be acceptable to the Lord. So we are challenged here to live a life that is transformed by the light. This does not imply perfection, but process. We are in a process. We discovered this a couple weeks ago, where this process is sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ. There will never be perfection, and we all know it because we've attempted to live it in and of this body. You agree, right? We can't pull it off. The flesh is there. The spirit is at war with the flesh, and the flesh with the spirit. We who are people who are claimed to be light, there are times that we fall back into the influence of the darkness. But that, again, should not define who we are. Next, light exposes the prohibition. Look at verse 11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, light and darkness, really, when you think about it, they can't coexist. Therefore, we are called to live a life of contrast. Light reveals what is prohibited by God. Now, how do we know what is prohibitive of God? His law, what Jesus taught, tells us certain things. The Bible says, don't let this be a part of who you are. If you allow these things that are works of darkness be a part of you, then those of you who say you are light, you're either telling a lie, you're not really of light, or you've fallen back into the darkness. And both accounts are very dangerous places. So, light reveals what is prohibited by God. The closer we get to the light, the greater the potential to see what's wrong with us. How many of you agree something's wrong with you? We all got that in us, don't we? Something is wrong. How do we correct what is wrong? By getting closer to the light. When I get closer to the light, I can see what maybe the supper that I ate last night on my shirt. I can see certain things that shouldn't be there. I can see things that I feel need to be corrected. But it requires getting closer to the light. And the closer we get to the light, the more relevant we see what is wrong and can be corrected. So, What does God's Word say about God's Word? It says it's a mirror. How many of you sat in front of a mirror this morning? Some of you obviously did not. I'm looking. But most of you did. I don't know about you, but when I get in the car, you know, I flip down the thing, look, make sure there's nothing hanging out my nose, or make sure, you know, I got to get gross. It has to happen every sermon, okay? But I mean, I literally want to make sure I'm not going to be offense to somebody. But what I do, I look into the mirror to see those things that need to be addressed in my life or on my face or whatever it may be. And the Bible says that the Bible is a mirror, or God's Word is a mirror. God's Word is also light. What good would it do me to sit there in front of a mirror in the total darkness? Would it help? No, It wouldn't. So I need the mirror of God's word, but also I need the light of God's word. And guess what's interesting about this? Jesus said he himself is the light of the world. He said that of himself. And so therefore, when I'm looking at God's word and I'm piercing into the mirror and the light, I got to have both. As a result, I am becoming as Christ. I am moving towards the light and living in the light. Next, light exposes the obligation. Look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. This means we are to live in such a way that the light of our life exposes, rebukes, and convicts, starting with us, but also towards those who walk in darkness. So when I am light and I am under the proper influence of what God is doing in my life and I'm living that life, where I show up in places of darkness, wherever that may be, the school, the job, wherever it may be, with some family members, as a result, those who don't want to align themselves with the light will find some way to be offended by us, because it does. When you really think about it, if light is truly an influence, if you really think about it, light is an offense to darkness. Really, when you think of logically stating, it is. And when we as light show up in those places, then it is an offense to the darkness. So how? How are we to be called light? How do we be to live in light? Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrows. What this is saying, it gets down to the bottom line of what the problem is. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's something that's there, and it's something that we need. How about this? Light exposes the admonition. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And again, the implication here is those things done in darkness. So, what does this passage mean? It means we need to take darkness and sin seriously. Whether we are darkness or whether we are light, we still need to take those two things very seriously. We as Christians who are light, who are called to walk in light, we are capable of walking back into the darkness. And I'm afraid a lot of our testimony sitting here this morning, a lot of you sitting here, that is part of your testimony, that there have been those times you've stepped back into that. But on the other hand, when you really think about it, we need to be exposed in our lives. But on the other hand, we are to help those who walk in darkness. Listen to what Galatians says. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, if they're taken by sin, you who are spiritual, you can say those of you who are in the light or walk in light, restore such a one, how? In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. You know what that says? That any one of us walking in the light is capable of going back to the darkness. And if we don't watch ourselves, if we think we're so arrogant not to ever repeat those things that darkness has, we're fools. The Bible literally says we need to be watchful. We need to be awake to those things that are on the other side. And we need to watch those things as it relates. Next, light exposes the illumination. And by the way, when we say illumination, the best thing you can say about illumination when it comes to God's word, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He illuminates things. He brings God's word into full focus. That's what he's doing. And by the way, do you know what kind of dynamics happening right now in this room? I'm someone trying to stand in the light, trying to bring the light. That's what I'm attempting to do right now. Now, where you are is you got to determine, am I going to be offended by that light or am I going to be challenged by that light? You see what I'm saying? To be challenged by that light means there's a work that God can do in my life. I'm ready for that work to take place. For you to be offended by what I'm saying here today, it's one of two things. Number one, you've never really truly been introduced to the light itself. and the light is Jesus Christ. Or number two, you are someone who once walked in light, but now you're defending your darkness. And you're now offended because you've been defending the darkness because someone is bringing the light to the darkness in which you're walking currently. That is what this is saying. This is this exposure. So, meaning when light touches something, it becomes light. It is influenced. It is changed or has a potential to be changed. So light has great potential to change a life, but the life it touches must be moldable and submissive. What are the hindrances that won't take place? That when light enters into the darkness and the person who is dark in darkness or who walks in darkness, both, what happens, what's happening to keep them from responding to the light? It can be hurt. They've been hurt so deeply that they're caught up in that darkness of unforgiveness and bitterness. The roots have settled in them, that person, and they don't even want to be touched by the light. They want to be settled in where the root of bitterness is. Or it could be pride, or it could even be shame, that you can't even let enough light in because you feel like you've done something so bad that you're not worthy of what the light potentially could bring into your life. I've met a lot of people in that situation. The shame and the guilt that they carry around keeps them at bay to the light when their only hope is the light. That's their only hope. And then there's some, really when you think about it, light reveals our darkness. It reveals our filth. It even reveals our dysfunction. All of us, you've heard me say this before, we come from a long lineage of dysfunction, don't we? There's no one in this room that hasn't been touched by dysfunction. Now, either that dysfunction has followed down in the darkness of dysfunction, how it can be. It's followed you all the way down where you've embraced that dysfunction and you operate in that dysfunction, or there's a healing taking place. And the only way there's going to be healing in your life is letting the light into that dysfunction, to see it for what it is. And guess what? It may never have started with you. Maybe it was something handed down, but it's still something you continue. And that is sin. You still have to take responsibility for what's come to you. And as a result, your only hope is to walk towards the light of God's word. So really the question is this: will we let light have its way in our life? That's really what it comes down to. Now, I want to ask for just a moment to turn the lights down. Now, I got to have a light to know what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, the condition of our soul before the light of Jesus came to us, or maybe this is where you are today. Imagine these screens are off. There's a little bit of light in here. There's a little bit of light coming from the door there. But let's just pretend like we're in total darkness. That is a picture of someone who's never been touched by the light. They've never encountered Jesus. The Bible says they not only walk in darkness, they are the darkness. They're consumed in it. Their only hope is the light. Or it could be, as I said before, you once were in the light, but now you've gone back into the darkness and you're trying to rationalize your role in the darkness. Who needs light? Both groups. Both groups need it. So, the darkness is the void of Jesus in one's life. Here's the characteristics they have. They have a darkened understanding, living in deception, about things that matter the most in life. They don't even see the big picture. They're into that deception. There's nothing foundational. This is where my heart goes out to those who walk in darkness, who live in darkness. There's nothing foundational to their life. Because what I've found for people who walk in darkness, who don't have the light, they begin to operate their lives in such a way that they think they have a foundation, but the Bible says it's only built on sand. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says. And what they do is they begin to build a life Maybe they're morally acceptable people. Maybe they're trying their best. They're on their own strength. But they're trying to build something only to realize at some point in their life, it all comes crashing down. It's not what they thought it was going to be. It wasn't as fulfilling to get there as they thought it would be. And for many, they start over and try something new. They'll try everything but the light. Because they're darkened in their understanding. They have no foundation to build upon. And really, their lives become void and empty. There are also people who are guided by emotions. Their emotions lead them as they go through life. And so if they don't feel like it, they don't do it. Some of them don't have discipline. Some of them just whatever. They have no foundation in their life. And as a result, they're guided by their emotions and their fleshly desires. Next, another characteristic is the fact that these things can lead to hopelessness. Hopelessness. I guarantee you, those of you who are sitting in this room right now, who were saved later in life, many of us were probably saved as children, but you were saved later in life. I guarantee you there was probably some form of crisis that came into your life where it was almost like something's got to change. Or something bad's going to happen. I guarantee you. And that's the way it is for many people. They finally get to a point where there's hopelessness. And the way they see this is going to eventually be destructive. For those in darkness, when light does come their way, as I said before, many times they're offended or even disturbed. For those in darkness, that the Holy Spirit is working on them, eventually they become curious as to what the light is. Now, here's what I mean by that. All of a sudden, you're someone who is light. You represent light. The fruit of your life is light, and you're there. And all of a sudden, that person who's in darkness, they'll have two reactions to you. They will look at you, and they could either be offended. How many of you have experienced that before? And you don't even know what it is. You're just living your life. They're offended by you for whatever reason. It's because you represent light. Darkness doesn't like light. Or number two, there's something else going on where they all of a sudden become curious about you. Curious about you. I've had some people say this, and I know they weren't bragging. I understand what they mean. Actually, they've had lost people come up to them. I've heard people say this, and they say something like this: I want what you have. Now, is that light? That's light in a very positive place. That's light being light. And when that person who is in darkness looks at that light and is not offended, and they say, I want what you have, that is a perfect platform to speak Jesus into their life, to bring light into their life. But the only way that happens is you got to be different. Way that happens is you got to be different than the world. That means your attitude's got to be different. That means the way you respond to the tough circumstances of your life needs to be different. That means they look at you and they see there's a foundation this person's building their life upon. They look at you and they say, you know something? There's something about that person that I want. I can't describe it, but I want what they have. And the answer is Jesus, because he's the true light. We're just a reflection. We're reflecting his light. And that's what they really need and desire. How about this? For those of us who are light, we came into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, who is the light. Now, we are not the light. Like I just said, we are a reflection of the light. Therefore, we walk in the light under the direction of the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Okay, that's who we are in the light. When walking in the fullness of the light, we are not deceived, and we see things clearly. You see what I'm saying? That's the reason we can look at things that the world produces, and we're sitting there thinking, what in the world is that? Is there any common sense out there? It's because those who walk in darkness are in darkness. They can't see wisdom. They can't see those things. When we who are in the light, we can easily discern and see, because there's something greater than us that's bringing those things into our life, and it's the truth of God's Word. So, we are to walk in the light to expose darkness and be light to those in darkness. Now, we have the potential, as I said, to go back into the darkness, but that contrast of being light and walking back into the works of darkness will always lead to misery and disappointment. Why? Because light and darkness, you have no fellowship together. They can't. And so when I, who am now light, I'm a reflected light, but I am light. I came to know Jesus. I came to God on His terms through Jesus Christ. I go back into the darkness. My life will be plagued with misery because I know better. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm living a contradiction. I'm living a contradiction. And I will never be satisfied, just as a lost person, until I'm back in the light. The sad thing is, once you taste the light and you go back to the darkness, it will never satisfy. But you know what? You got to be truly once of the light for that to take place. Do you really know Him, or are you just playing? Are you really light? That's really the question that's really here for us all. Turn the lights back on. Next. Isn't that neat how quick that can happen? Yeah, okay, I'll move on. Light awakens, and we see it makes one aware. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 14. Therefore, He says, awake you who sleep. It's a reference to those who are spiritually dead, a description of most of the people in the world, and probably many of those who are in our own lives. There was a time in our lives, think about it, when we were in darkness, when we were darkness, when we were spiritually dead. But then we became aware of our need. What took place? Darkness was where I was. Light began to be shown into my life. Sometimes that can come from another person who is walking in the light to help bring that light to me. If I don't take it as offense and I'm curious and want more of what they have, I may take certain steps that way. The only way that happens, by the way, the Bible says the Holy Spirit's got to be at work in that person's life. So as a result of the light that's been shined, and that may come from any one of you or me or whoever, anytime that light is there and the darkness is drawn towards the light, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. Listen, in your life and in that person's life. And that's the reason Jesus said, I've got to go that the Comforter may come, that He may do what He's called to do. And what does He do? He teaches, guides those who are in the light, and He brings conviction for those who are in darkness. And that work is matched up when that person steps out of the darkness into the light, to join us in that light. So that's what He's talking about. Next, light makes one alive. Look at verse 14 again. Therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. Thirdly, light makes one alert. Look at verse 14 again. Therefore, He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, think about what verse 14 is doing. It's talking about transformation. Look at what He does with the first one. Sleep to awake, death to life, darkness to light. What does that mean? It means the relationship we have with Jesus through His cross, through what He provides us for us, that if we are in the light, there is a sharp contrast between us who is in the light and those who are in darkness. He's saying, awake, be alive to what I have for you. A commentary is in song, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Hank Williams Sr., how many of you remember, not junior, senior, captured this truth in a familiar gospel song that he wrote. I wandered so aimless, I'm not going to sing this, by the way. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered long. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then light the blind man that gave God his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and astray. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now I've traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I am the light, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm happy, so no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Here's the application this morning. You do not have the ability to save anyone. But you can bring the light of the gospel to this dark world. This can only happen when you walk in the light. And so really the question for all of us here this morning, to sum it all up, are you walking in the light this morning? Or are you fleeing the darkness? They're both two sides of the same coin. For me to embrace the light, I've got to flee the darkness. Because the darkness is always, how many of you found this to be true? Nipping at my heels. It's like those little chihuahua, those annoying little dogs, just chomping at your ankles, you know, that kind of thing? Big old burly thing. And I'm here to tell you, you don't just live in the light, you flee the darkness. That's what this world is all about. How well are you fleeing the darkness? How well are you living in the light? I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come if they would. Father, we just come to you right now and we thank you for you who are the light. And you allowed that light to be taken on by your Son. And Father, we thank you that your Son Jesus took us because of his great sacrifice, made it possible for us to leave the darkness and join you in the light. Father, I just pray if there's someone here today, they've never made that decision to join you in the light, to follow what you have for them, for them to repent of their sin, to turn to you. I pray today will be that day they give their life to you. Father, I pray if there's someone here today, maybe they have been called to live in the light. Maybe they know that life very well, but fleeing the darkness has been a challenge here recently. Father, I pray for them, Lord, that they would surround themselves with good, godly people to pray for them and to help them through this difficult journey. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. We're getting ready to sing, but there's some prayer partners up here, and the question is this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. Just talk to one of these two couples that's up here at the front. And then secondly, maybe you're a Christian and you know full well what it means to walk in the light. But there's been some difficult days that have come upon you. Maybe your hurt has led you back into the darkness. Maybe your shame and guilt. Maybe it's just sin itself. Come back. We're inviting you to come back today. Would you do that? They'll be here at the front. Just do what God's calling you to do in these moments.